Good morning. I'd like to invite each one to come in and have a seat so that we may get started. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on this first Sunday in December. And baby, it's cold outside this morning. We had lots of warm weather, but looks like wintertime is here for us. And we think about all those people out to the west and up north of us who've had all the ice and the snow, and I'm glad I'm right here in Middle Tennessee. I'd like to welcome everyone this morning. Do we have any visitors with us today? Here, middle, over here. Okay, announcements. Looks like we have several in our bulletin. Is there anyone that needs to speak about an announcement this morning? Oh, I heard about that. We'll put him on our prayer list.
We need to restate that. Children will go, for children's church, though the worship order says that they will remain in the sanctuary because it's Communion Sunday, which is traditional, but they will be going and getting ready for the Christmas play during the sermon time this morning. That's what you're saying.
We're doing communion before, right?
Yes, we are.
So
we are.
Here
right. Before. Right. Okay, poinsettia list. We had a list in your bulletin last week. There's none in the bulletin this week, but Pete Franciscan has. Don't you have some back there, Pete? Right behind you. If you want to order a poinsettia, the information is there. And if you drop this in the offering plate, if you want to, I don't know how you could attach money to it, but if you don't, you can pay later. We don't think we've ever lost much money for this anyway. So if you'll do order your poinsettia in memory of or in honor of someone, even yourself if you like to, or could do it in honor of Jesus.
Mary Beth. Yes. Mr. Larry? Oh, boy. Okay. Hey, Madison. Let's have show and tell after a while.
Also, the lighting situation, we finally got lights for the choir, but they're not dimmable. So we have to cut them off and cut them on. So if it goes dark, and they come back on, and we've got a plan worked out. Stuff on the walls to see. And that's why the light's going off and on. It's planned that way. We hope we do it right. So just don't be surprised. It's all planned. Do it for the choir and for everybody else.
Our prelude to Advent has been chosen. There are videos with you to prelude and to give us time for meditation and to bring peace into our lives. Our theme is peace on earth, goodwill to men. And that is also the theme of our concert tonight, our classical concert at 6 o'clock here in our sanctuary. Has the theme peace on earth, goodwill to men. It will feature music of the medieval and Renaissance period as well as classical. There will be an intermission during which time to encourage everybody to enjoy the artwork that two artists will display in the foyer, and there will be refreshments. So come for the artwork, come for the music, come to be stressed. This is not a gear up for the holidays. This is a get back to the purpose at the meaning of Christmas. Yeah, we'll come for reception. But we hope we get good support. It's open to the community. We hope we get good support from our home church. So it's good to find you.
Okay. Are there any other announcements? If not, let's go to our prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? Any spoken prayer requests? Julie? Certainly remember. Do we have others?
excuse me, if you put Mr. Thomas Scales, that's Toby Scales' father, that he was taken to the hospital yesterday evening. And also, keep Darlene Scales, Toby's wife, in your prayers, because she's driving today to Camp Lejeune, because her son Garrett will come in tomorrow. He's from a 7-month tour on a ship, so she's going to meet him.
Do we have anyone else? Yes, sir. Okay, we look forward to that. If there's no one else, we will certainly remember all these people, the people that we have written on our prayer list in our bulletin, and the ones that we have added today. Brother Larry, are we here? Elder nominations now.
Once a year we elect elders. Usually we elect three elders to replace three who are rotating off. And we have a congregational meeting, first to nominate and second to elect. The election will be next week. This meeting is for the nomination. I declare this congregational meeting open for the purpose of nominating elders. Let us pray. Lord God, let your Spirit work in each of us as we do the business of your church. Amen. Mr. Clerk.
The session has nominated three members for session of class of 2009. As I call your name, if you would stand, please. Jim Baker, David England, and Sherry Woodrow. Okay. Thank you. Hear a motion from the floor to open the floor to add to these three nominations.
I'll ask again, are there any nominations from the floor for the office of elder? And I'll ask one more time, are there any nominations from the floor for the office of elder? Though it will be kind of a rubber stamp of our action today, but we will proceed with the election next Sunday morning.
Steve, would you just offer a prayer of dismissal here for that this meeting?
Lord, we thank you that we have a right and a freedom to worship, and a right and a freedom to make selections in order to govern our church. Bless this service. Prepare our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
At this time, we pause to for a moment of silent prayer to prepare our hearts for our worship of God. Please join me in our call to worship. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is near. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise. I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David,
and he shall execute justice and righteousness.
Stand now, if you will, please, and turn your hymnals to hymn 21. And let's sing 1, 3, and 5. 1, 3, and 5. All right.
Maybe they want to slip in.
Write it in. Okay, we're going to go ahead and start. 1, 3, and 5.
Stand up and bless the Lord. Keeping all of his joys, stand up and bless the Lord your God with heart and soul and voice. Oh, for the living flame of his own altar brought, to touch our lips, our minds in soul.
stand up and bless His glorious name. It's forevermore.
Now, if you will, turn to hymn 126. 126.
120.
Is it 120? Never mind.
Vision is going.
Telling you. I'll never be as old as you, Larry.
I know that.
I can't catch up. Okay, and if you'll notice when she plays the introduction, it's the same tune, different words.
The advent of our God, within whom heart we greet, and we must praise Him in this hour with hymns and anthems sweet. All glory to the Son, who comes to set us free, with God the Spirit ever one, through all eternity.
Let us bow for prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, the Advent, the coming, we stand before You anticipating. We stand, O Lord, to acknowledge that You have come as a babe in Bethlehem. We stand, O Lord, knowing that You shall come again with great power for the consummation of it all of life. Lord, we welcome You and rejoice that You came long ago to Bethlehem. Lord, we pray that You will help us be faithful servants to help others come to rejoice in Your coming. But Lord, now we pray that You will help us to welcome You in that great and glorious day. But for some, the scriptures say, it'll be a terrible day. Lord, we want to welcome You in our hearts today, that we might dwell upon You. Lord, if it be Your will, let us see at least a glimpse of Your backside as Moses saw You. Thank You for letting us come together in Your name, for calling us. And we offer this prayer in Jesus' name and come now praying like He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We will state our faith through the Apostles' Creed and follow that with the Gloria.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
To the Holy Ghost.
May be seated.
The Valentine family.
Welcome.
Welcome. I invite you to join in confessing our sins. Our call to confession states, because we have faith in Christ, we dare to approach God with confidence. I invite you to join me in our prayer of confession. Righteous God, you have crowned Jesus Christ as Lord of all. We confess that we have not bowed before Him and are slow to acknowledge His rule. We give allegiance to the powers of this world and fail to be governed by justice and love. In your mercy, forgive us. Raise us to acclaim Him as ruler of all, that we may be loyal ambassadors, obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we have that assurance of forgiveness from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Reverend Job is going to administer the sacrament of Holy Communion this morning, and the elders, you will not come until after the reading of the response on the insert, but I invite at that time Karen and Melanie and Paul and Pete and Sherry and Diane to come after the reading of the response.
You just a moment ago shared what you believe. You believe in God the Father. What you believe about Christ, His Son, our Lord, and about the Holy Spirit, as well as the Church. We said we believe in the communion of saints. You are saints this morning. If you are Christians, all are welcome to the table of the Lord. In the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the Church blesses God for all that He has done, is doing, and promises to do. In the Eucharist, we offer ourselves in obedient service to God's reign. The Church is renewed and empowered as in thanksgiving we remember Christ's life, death, resurrection, and promised return. The people of God are sustained by the promised presence of Christ and are assured of participation in Christ's self-giving love. Christ's love is here received, the covenant is renewed, and the power of God's reign for the renewing of the earth is proclaimed. Being made one with Christ, we are made one with all who belong to Christ, united with the Church in every time and place. In this sacrament, we also participate in God's future as well. It is a glad resurrection feast. Gathering around this table, the Church anticipates the great banquet of the new age in God's eternal kingdom. The Lord's Supper is more than a reminder of Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection. It is the means given to us by Christ, through which the risen Christ is truly present as the continuing power and reality until the day of His coming. How fitting that we began the Advent season by receiving the body and blood of our Lord. It is a resurrected living Christ whom we encounter through the bread and the fruit of the vine. Would you join me responsively as we offer this prayer in preparation for the Lord's Supper? We have shared bread and the fruit of the vine many times in our lives, in many places, for many reasons. The bread that we now break and the cup that we take are a sharing in the life of Christ. May our acknowledged acceptance of it today be a sign of our faith in the ongoing goodness of a God who journeys with us in the mystery of the call given to each one here to make bread and life and beauty available to everyone.
We pray then, good and gracious God, that we might recognize you in the breaking of prayer today.
In the bread of heaven, the bread of the poor, the bread of our lives,
may we recognize you every time we join someone on earth, every time we share a meal, every time we take bread in our hands.
Let us share this bread and fruit of the vine as Jesus taught us, knowing that our lives are forever changed by this and every breaking of the bread. Amen. Let the elders come. When Jesus sat down at the table with the disciples, He blessed the bread and broke it in such a way that their eyes were open to recognize who He was. May we recognize as the body of Christ the presence of Him as we consecrate the element. O God, our Father, we give you thanks that we can be your bread. May we be broken and humbled in your presence as we take into ourselves the living Christ who gives us strength for the way. Amen. In like manner, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant I make with you, that you love one another even as I have loved you." And so He gave His life blood for us. O living Christ, come to us today in the outpouring of your grace for us, totally undeserved and yet so generous, to fill us and strengthen us and renew us through this, the blood of our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Okay, boys and girls, it's time to come down and meet Miss Andrea for a special time. Come on down front. We'd like all the boys and girls to come down for children's service. Visiting boys and girls, come on down too.
Well, today we start the light of the Advent candle.
light of the world and celebrating Christ's birthday. And I don't know about, I want you to show me how many of you are good at waiting for something. You're good at waiting. Some people are. Some people are more patient than others. I'm not a good waiter. You know, I'm not, I don't like to wait, especially when I'm really excited about something, you know, that's going to happen. And I can remember several times in my life things that were coming up, and this year particularly had $2 million coming. And that's been really exciting because here they are. So this Christmas is going to be extra special. You know, we're going to get to play and have a good time. But the main thing that we want to do and we want to share with today of anticipation or hope, we want to remember that the reason that we have the Christmas season and the only reason that we have the Christmas season is because we celebrate the birth of our Christ, of Christ, our Lord and Savior, who came on this earth like us, except not and not like us. He was like us. He walked on this earth like us. He went through trials and tribulations like we did. He experienced things that we did, but he gave the ultimate sacrifice as he grew older and gave his life for us. So we don't have to get back, but the beginning of the story is the birth of Christ. But that is just the beginning, isn't it? So as we anticipate Christmas coming, and how many of you are excited about Christmas? Yeah, I know, yeah, I remember. And what we don't want to forget, we want to remember and share it with everyone that we know that the real reason for the season and the real reason for all this anticipation and excitement is because the light of the world is hot. So let's look in the light of the world. And I do want to introduce you all back to them.
Thank you, Miss Andrea. And children, you may go to children's church today. Our offertory sentence today is taken from Romans chapter 15, verses 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. I invite the ushers to come forward to take our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Our scripture lesson today is taken from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. I invite you to look in your bulletin or open your Bible to this scripture. Listen to the word. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Thanks.
Let's turn in our hymnals now, please, to hymn 295. Let's sing 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, mind the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, mind the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, mind the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, mind the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, mind the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, mind the glory. Revive us again.
Revive us again. How many feel a need to be revived? How many feel that you're spiritual enough and don't need to be revived? Advent, first Sunday in Advent. Advent begins the Christian year. Now, not the calendar year, but the Christian year. So today is the first Sunday, I guess the first day in the Christian year. The Sunday that comes nearest, St. Andrew Day, November the 30th. So we're beginning a new year. And we begin with a challenge today and an invitation, if you will, for God to revive us again. This sermon is hopefully a challenge, a continuation of some previous sermons about reaching out to those who are not a part of the kingdom of God, reaching out to the lost, those who do not know Christ as their Savior, and inviting them to become a part of the family of God or the kingdom of God. The scripture lesson is a parable about the kingdom of God. Numerous parables Jesus gave concerning the kingdom of God. They're called kingdom parables. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, kingdom parables. This one is also a kingdom parable. There are numerous ways that this passage has been treated. Some have treated it from the vantage point or from the viewpoint of challenging those who have heard the call of Christ into the great banquet but have refused, have not said yes to coming and fellowshipping with Jesus or enjoying the banquet that He provides for His people, the spiritual banquet, and it's an eternal banquet that we look forward to through eternity we call heaven. Another way to take on this passage or to approach this passage is to look at that one who was improperly dressed and got cast out. We won't even get to that, even dealing with it today. I warn you in advance that that's one you can go home and wonder, why did Jesus throw him out? Or why did the king throw him out? Today, I want us to consider this passage, this parable, but I want us to consider it as a challenge that we have been given by God, servants of God. One song says, servants of God, you master proclaim. And that's what we need to do, is proclaim our master, our Savior, and our master, Jesus. A challenge, orders, if you will, from God Himself, from Jesus the Christ, to invite people into His kingdom. We cannot save anyone, but we can lead people to Jesus, and they can be saved through Him if they're willing to trust Him as their Lord and Savior. When that happens, when people start getting saved, that's revival in their life, the saved person's life especially. And it's revival for those friends who have brought them to Jesus. And it's really revival for the whole church. Does the church need revival? In every age, we need revival. And I hope this morning that you can see yourself as one of the servants, and in Matthew's gospel it is plural, servants, that God has sent out or is sending out. Maybe this will be the challenge that will send you out to reach out to someone else. Let me ask you a question. Put it in your bulletin. You don't even have to try to remember it. You can read it. Take it with you. Do you know anyone? Do you know anyone? Yes, we know someone. Do we know anyone who is not a member of the family of God? Or do you know any lost people? Do you know any unchristian people? And I think all of us could say, yes, we do. Do you know anyone that you would like to see come into the family of God and be saved? And you say, I know them, I know they're not Christian, but I don't want them in the family of God. Do you know anybody like that? Okay. I'm hoping that we would all be in agreement with God, who wants all people everywhere to be saved. It's probably not going to happen. We see in this parable that it didn't happen, but He wants it to happen. That's His desire, His will, and it should be ours. Now, sometimes He may save some people that we don't want to be saved. We don't think they deserve saving. We think they deserve the justice of God or the wrath of God. And if we were in charge, we would send it on them. Do we know anybody like that? Maybe God wants them to save, and if you feel like that towards somebody, this may be a revival of your spirit that you will say, no, I want them to be saved too. couple of weeks ago, last week, 1 week. Memory going. Gave you Fran. Miss Fran didn't object. F-R-A-N. If you don't like Fran's plan, or the plan of Fran, you can do North. If you don't like either one of them to follow that plan, scramble those letters anywhere that you, any way that you want to. I got Farn, F-A-R-N. And I thought of Jonah, and that's the first four letters of her six-letter name. Farner. You can do that. Do that plan. Write them the way you want to. But do you have a friend, a relative? I won't miss my spelling today because I wrote it down. See, friend, a relative, an acquaintance, or a neighbor that you are concerned about and their eternal salvation, where they will spend eternity. That's serious, isn't it? I saw a friend yesterday. Actually, he's an acquaintance. I've seen him twice in 9 years that I remember. I did his wedding. I met him in Walmart, shopping for thermometers to go in our refrigerator. That we may be going bad. We don't know. But it was melting the ice cream, and you can't have melted ice cream. Last Friday night, Saturday morning, they came in, they said, our ice cream is melted. I said, I'm sorry, do we have to buy you new ice cream? And they said, let us taste of it. They tasted of it, and it was still tasty. And we got it froze real quick before it could go in that punch. And Sharon, you didn't know all that happened, I don't guess, but it happened anyway. So I went to buy thermometers. Tell you that story to say I ran into a friend, an acquaintance, and he says, and his wife, and he says, you don't know who we are, do we? I said, couldn't think of his name. Man, I wanted to, and I couldn't. And I said, your daddy lives on Sanford Road. He said, yep. I knew who he was. And 9 years ago, I did his wedding. And then I think his daughter got married sometime after that. And that I didn't even do that wedding, but it was here at this church. The man's not a member of a church. I don't think he's a Christian. I've not taken the trouble. This is a confession. I've not taken the trouble to find out. Wet noodles won't get the job done, folks. I probably need a belt for that, you know. Or a paddle. Or something. I wrote his name down. And then I thought of a friend. I mentioned, I did invite him to church yesterday. After 9 years as his friend. Maybe you have a friend for 9 years you didn't think were Christian at least. They didn't show any evidence of being Christian. And you haven't invited them even to come to church with you. So I'm fussing at you and me too. So let's be fussed at together. So write somebody down. Will you do that? Stick this in your pocket, tear that part off, take it home. I think it's on the back of that one that you have a few different notes. No, it's not the scripture lesson, but there's a good prayer on the back of that. So if you want to do a friend, put in for an acquaintance, that's what I put down. You may have a relative or a neighbor. Jesus used the parable to tell his audience about the kingdom. Characters. The king is God himself or Jesus himself. Servants. Hopefully that's us as we bring it down to today. That's the ones that were sent out. And then the invited guest. Yes. The king represents God or Jesus. If Jesus is God in the flesh, we don't have to quibble over that one, do we? Servants, disciples, Christians. I believe Tommy mentioned saints. Paul calls Christians saints. All of us who are, we say, boy, he's a saint. Well, if you're a Christian, Paul says you're a saint, the Apostle Paul. It could refer to the prophets of old, if he was referring way back there. It could have been referring to John the Baptist, who had lost his head trying to witness to the king of the day. But he could be referring to us in the modern day, if we can take it. Invited guest. The people not in the family of God. That's who Jesus came to save. Those who were not in the family of God. Those who needed to be. This may represent the Jews of Jesus' day that would not accept him. But today, apply it today. Who does it represent to you? The invited guest, or those who need to be invited. There are two groups of these in the parable. There's one group that would not come, would not heed the invitation or respond to the invitation. They didn't even hear it, basically. And then those who did hear it. Friends, God wants all of His creation to be in His kingdom. He don't want anybody to be lost. John 3:16. Whosoever will. John 3:17. God sent His Son to the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Disciples, go and preach and teach and make disciples and baptize. Luke 24:46-49. Jesus' commissioning of the disciples. There's to be witnesses. Acts 1:8. A repeat of Luke 24:46-49. Acts 1:8. The Apostle Peter said in his second letter, the 3rd chapter, 9th verse, that God does not want anyone to perish, but that all would come to repentance and thus salvation. God sends servants, His servants, to bring them in. I think it's 425 in this old green book. You remember this old green book? We used it and wore it out again and put covers on it. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring them in from their fields of sin. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. Some will come, but some will not. And those who don't come have been referred to in many circles as green fruit. You know how fruitless it is to gather green fruit. I thought of a watermelon that you pull while it's still green, before it is ripe, that doesn't thump right. I never could thump a watermelon and tell if it was ripe or green. But I've cut a few open that were green, and you don't have anything worth even feeding to the pigs if you get a green watermelon. Or a green tomato. Now somebody liked green tomatoes so much that they made a movie about it. Fried green tomatoes. And green tomatoes, I had some Thursday. Went to a restaurant, they were on the menu, and I said, fried green tomatoes. I've got to have some of them. But you know, they're not nearly as good as red ripe tomatoes. Oh, you can tolerate them, but they're tart. They're sour, even after they're battered and fried. They're not nearly what they are if they get ripe. So you don't have very much. And only a few people want anything to do with them. Real southern people probably started when they didn't have anything else to eat. Or they couldn't wait for the ripeness to come to the tomato. Green apples. How many have ever eaten enough green apples that you got a stomachache? No. Green apples. Somebody wrote a song about that. Well, they must have experienced green tomatoes and green apples. Movies and songs about them. And a green persimmon. Who's ever eaten a green persimmon? What did it do to your mouth? You got to wait till the frost falls on the persimmon before it's edible. You know what now? Perk. Yes, it does. I was warned early on, don't eat it till the frost falls on it. They're good then, aren't they? They're all kind of recipes. Wow, you can make a persimmon pie or persimmon dumplings or something, but they're good. But when they're green, you just don't want them. Well, they're useless. So you don't want to get green fruit into the kingdom of God. They don't know how. You have to plant the seed. You have to cultivate the seed or cultivate the vine and let it grow. And that may take much prayer. That may take much witnessing. That may take much, just a lot of great love and a lot of good Christian example before them. and help them to get to the point of being ripe, and I think ripe for the picking, but that don't sound real good, but let's say ripe for the harvest. And Jesus used that illustration. See, picking sounds like you're going to pick their pockets. We don't want to do that. We want them ripe for the harvest. Jesus says, the fields are white unto harvest. He had to be talking about a cotton field. They're white unto harvest. And pray for servants to go, or workers to go into that harvest. If you're a servant of God, you're ready to go. Go and witness to those people who are ripe for the harvest. There are many who are ready for harvesting, ready for discipleship. If we go once and we don't have results that we desire, God doesn't let us quit. He sends us again. Read the parable. They came back, they wouldn't come. Go again. Go to somebody else. Find some ripe fruit. Those that come may not be the ones that we expect. But if we go, we'll find somebody to come into the kingdom. I still remember a program, and I told this, I think, so many times. A family came to church at the Madison Church. They wanted to know about the youth program. And based on their children, we went out and employed a youth worker. He was already our choir director, and he became our youth worker too. And we built one of the best youth programs that the Madison Church had ever had. So, wow, during our time there at least, his children, that man's children, never came but about twice to the youth program. But we reached gobs, that's a whole bunch, of other children through that youth program. So the people that we think they're going to come, they may not be ripe for the harvesting, but somebody else will be ready if we can minister to them. If we'll just look where God is already working and join Him there. I hope I've challenged you to think about who it is that you know that's not in the kingdom of God, that you'd like to see there, or that God would like to see in His kingdom. Think about it. Think about it. It's really a rescue for the perishing. 299 is a song, and we'll sing verse 1 and 4. Stand together, and maybe you feel that God is ready to rescue you this day. Maybe He is calling you to become one of His disciples. Get in His kingdom, and you haven't said yes to Him yet. You've been saying, no, I've got other things to do. Maybe today is the day that you'll say yes to Him. That be you. Come here to the altar. Let's seal the deal, if we can call it the deal. 299, 1 and 4. In Your kingdom. Lord, move us, motivate us, inspire us, and help us to be faithful. Let Your Spirit not let us rest.
In Jesus' name.